Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The ministry in chapter 5 is called the ministry of reconciliation. And the work of the ministers was to fully reconcile both unbelievers and believers fully into God. In chapter 6, the focus now turns to the ministers themselves and what these ones were, and really what we all should be in our being. In other words, we get a very detailed view of the kind of living that qualifies one to be a genuine minister of the new covenant, an ambassador of Christ. Ron Kangas has joined us for our fellowship again today. Good to have you back, Ron.
It's good to be back, and I look forward to interacting in fellowship over some of these very precious points concerning the life of the New Testament ministers.
We touched this in our program yesterday, this matter of the importance of the living of the ministers and really the constitution of Christ within the ministers being a match to this New Testament ministry, this ministry of reconciliation. This is a crucial factor, isn't it?
It's a crucial factor, especially with our religious background there. The reason I mention this is that we still may think that a minister is a professional, and you get into a certain mode of carrying out your religious profession. But in the New Testament, you have the New Testament ministry, which is virtually identical in practice with the person and constitution of the New Testament ministers. One cannot have a ministry without being constituted a minister. Then the minister, the person, and the ministry, the service, are both expressed and carried out in the living of the ministers with their ministry. This is one organic reality: the ministry, the ministers with their constitution and person, and their living. We see this in a striking way exhibited by Paul's ministry, Paul's person, and Paul's living in these chapters from 2 Corinthians.
And in this chapter 6 that we're focused on today primarily, we're going to see Paul describing a number of characteristics of what his life was like, and outwardly perplexing, disturbing, distressing, being pressed, suffering in many ways. And it struck me as you were talking here in our introduction, how we tend to focus on ministers and ministry in quite a different context today. And I think we'll hear this brought out very strikingly, that to look at one's suffering and ascribe to that the significance that this must mean that somehow God is no longer blessing this one. Actually, we'll see quite the opposite today, won't we?
I hope you will see this and be impressed with it and understand the significance of it.
Let's look at just verse 4 as we begin today in chapter 6. Paul writes, "But in everything we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses." Let's join Witness Lee now.
When I read this verse, verse 4, I got bothered. Paul was going to tell us his qualifications for him to be the New Testament minister. He should firstly tell us a great item. What he tells us first? In endurance, and in much endurance. What qualification is this? This word in Greek implies patience. But all agree, patience is not sufficient. Patience doesn't imply the suffering so much. Endurance implies much suffering. The first qualification of a New Testament minister is that you can endure. You can endure. tribulations. You can endure pressure. You can endure oppression. You can endure persecution. You can endure poverty. You can endure any kind of trial. Brother Washamani says one day that the most powerful person is the enduring person. Endurance needs power. You need to be strengthened. You need to be empowered that you can endure. He stayed in the prison for 20 years. I must tell you, to be an instant martyr. Oh, you are arrested today at noon time. And you got tried in the afternoon. At evening time, you got beheaded. You become a martyr. This is easy. But he stayed in the prison 20 years. Could you endure this? This long imprisonment exhausts all your ability, all your power. The New Testament minister, whether you are an apostle, whether you are an elder, whether you are a deacon, you must learn how to endure. When you have the endurance, you minister life to others.
Ron, I wrote down one thing that he said that struck me a lot. The most powerful person is the enduring person, here quoting Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee, along with the Apostle Paul, both, I guess, striking examples of ones that were really experiencing Christ as the enduring one. How does this lead us to say this is where power really has its source?
This is something that's not on the surface of the Scripture. Neither is it obscure. It is below the surface. When we come to the Word open to consider what the Lord really values in His serving ones. The Bible definitely emphasizes endurance. Hebrews 12 speaks of running the race with endurance. In Revelation 3, the Lord speaks of the word of His endurance. Concerning the apostles as the new covenant ministers with the ministry of reconciliation, it may come as a great surprise to the vast majority of Bible readers to know that the first characteristic of an apostle in the New Testament is endurance. We may think it's miraculous power or some kind of noticeable gift, but there first must be endurance, because the New Testament ministers suffer more than most believers do. They suffer in order to be constituted with the ministry. They suffer in order to carry out the ministry. As we consider Paul's account in 2 Corinthians, we see that he suffered immensely, was in constant tribulation and pressure. What is the real power for a person in this kind of situation? It is not the power that enables one to be plucked out of it, to escape. It is the power, which is actually resurrection power, that enables one to overcome, to prevail, to withstand in that kind of situation. Endurance is power because endurance is related to resurrection life operating in us. So an instant martyr does not display this kind of power. But someone who suffers incredibly long in increasingly difficult situations, that one needs a particular kind of intrinsic life power through Christ as the resurrection life, and that power will be expressed and manifested as endurance. In order to endure as Paul endured, we need resurrection life, which is the real power.
We mentioned earlier on that in the contemporary thought, much is made of the prosperity, the material, the physical well-being of the minister as a kind of measure of the degree of blessing that they are experiencing from God. But historically, biblically, we just don't find that as the basis. I think we'll get into that now in this coming portion. Let me remind our listeners again of the verse we opened with today. Paul says, we commend ourselves as ministers in much endurance, which we've talked about, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And as we dig deeper into chapter 6, which we'll do here in a few minutes, we'll see that the list doesn't stop there. Certainly with Brother Nee in prison for 20 years, suffering much, but the blessing still coming forth from his ministry even today. So we need a kind of an adjustment here. I think we'll be helped in that line in this coming fellowship. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Today, the Christians estimate a servant of God not by the necessities, but by the riches. Look at this person, how much he is blessed by the Lord. And how much riches he got. If I become poor, I'm short of lodging, I'm short of food, I'm short of clothing, I'm short of this, short of everything, then probably many of you would say, God is not happy with him. God is not present with him. God doesn't bless him. Then how about Paul? Consider this. In necessities, and then in distresses, this indicates what kind of a life the Apostle Paul went through. He was made to be in want, to be in need, to be short of the daily supply. And today, the American young men, many of them got encouraged to be a ministerial student. After graduation, they could get certain pay every year. They could get lodging and some other allowances. I tell you, to be a pastor and minister is a good job. But Paul was not such a person. He didn't have such a life. In his life, endurance, affliction, necessities, distresses. To be a minister of the New Testament, you have to realize on this earth, nothing can be accomplished without suffering. In human living, always troubles. You are a minister in this age to help the people in their sufferings. And how could you be an exception? It's impossible. Rather, you have to suffer. Do you like to hear this? Do you like still to be a minister? Don't think you are a minister. You don't suffer. I must tell you, a minister suffers more than others. Because a minister is one who is going to live a proper human life, like Jesus did. We all know the Lord Jesus suffered more than all. The more we live a human life to minister Christ to others, the more we suffer.
Ron, I guess if we applied the modern-day common test to Paul's ministry, we'd have to conclude he was a failure. But certainly not the case, was it?
Not in the sight of God. And the converse of your suggestion, if we applied what Paul describes in chapter 6 as the criterion to evaluate much of today's so-called ministry, it would be viewed as a failure in the sight of God. I'm glad you brought up this matter of the contrast. I'd like to emphasize it, if that's okay. We're talking about two different spiritual value systems here. One that emphasizes prosperity, outward material blessing, a life of pleasure and ease, elaborately presented, supposedly based on the scriptures. This is simply not in line with the facts, let alone the spiritual understanding of the facts in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul said he received mercy from God to be a pattern to all those who would believe unto eternal life. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, the pattern, is living before our eyes, a life of endurance, hardship, affliction, suffering, necessity, distress, pressure, deprivation. He really has the blessing that he passes on in chapter 13, verse 14, which blessing is the triune God himself processed and consummated in God's economy. That's the blessing Paul cared about. That's the blessing that Paul ministered. But Paul, obviously and evidently, was not receiving much outward material, physical blessing. Those who want to serve the Lord today, they need to consider which way they're going to take. The way of that segment of Christianity that emphasizes material blessing and prosperity, that is, lots of money, or will they take the way exemplified by the Lord Jesus, by Paul, and by all the apostles? This ministry, by which I mean Living Stream Ministry, with its burden to pass on the substance of the New Testament ministry, is absolutely devoted to following not only the substance of Paul's teaching, but the pattern of Paul's living. Brother Nee took this way according to his measure of grace. Brother Lee took this way according to his measure of grace. And we must also take this way according to whatever the Lord measures to us, both with respect to the sufferings and to the sufficient grace in the sufferings. This is the way of the New Testament ministry, and this is the way of the New Testament ministers. This is clearly unveiled in 2 Corinthians.
Ron, let's go on in chapter 6 a little bit. A couple of verses further on, Paul even elaborates more. He says, through glory and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as being disciplined and yet not being put to death, as made sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. We could go on, but for time's sake, I think we have made the point. Let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion.
As unknown and well known. Unknown, why? Because we don't advertise, we don't display, right? So unknown, nobody knows us. Yet, well known. Are you a well-known person? You become well known by testifying the truth to people. Don't get a name in any other way, but you are known that you always testify to people the truth. Then, as dying, and behold, we live, dying because of the suffering of persecution. People always want to put you to death. But you are alive. You are living. Why? Because you live in resurrection. As being disciplined and not being put to death, we suffer a lot of things. When we are suffering, people may have a superficial realization to say, look, look, look. He is now under God's punishment. Otherwise, how could he suffer so much? Yet, while we are suffering, we are still under the Lord's sovereign care, not to be put to death. We are suffering, yet we still live. Then, as made sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful. Because of the negative, bad conditions of the churches. Yet always rejoicing. Rejoicing what? Rejoicing in the sufficient grace and in the resurrection life. Then, as poor, yet enriching many. Poor in material things, yet making people rich in spiritual things. These are the seven kinds of persons.
What a description. You know, in the footnote that Witness Lee provides here in the recovery version on this verse, he talks about this experience of Christ, this experience that we're seeing presented through Paul as the experience of the all-fitting life. In other words, the life of Christ being able to fit any situation. There's no human life that could, it seemed to me, Ron, achieve this kind of standard.
I don't want to focus on your word choice there. I think we can go further than that and say with assurance, no natural human life is capable of living in the way described by Paul. Yet, the life that he describes is very human, but the source is divine. It's God. It's Christ. It's the Spirit. It's eternal life. It's resurrection life. It is all of these in one. Paul was a person, according to his testimony in chapter 1, verse 9, who had the sentence or answer or response of death upon him, that he would not base his confidence upon himself, but upon God, the one who raises the dead. This is the God of resurrection. Now, when we come to the portion here that we're considering, we see Paul living the God of resurrection. And this God of resurrection, with his resurrection life operating in Paul, manifests himself through Paul's human living as an all-fitting life. This life can fit into every situation and any situation and all situations. It is literally and actually the case that in every and any situation, no matter what it is, a New Testament minister can enrich others by ministering Christ to them. There is simply no such thing as a situation that is of such a nature that the all-fitting life, which is the triune God in Christ as the Spirit, cannot be expressed in it. So Paul was put through all manner of situations.
Thank you, Ron, for your sharing today another very significant life study. Thank you very much for listening.